Well, good afternoon, fellow constitutionalists, and welcome to the Free For All Friday edition of the Dan Clements Show, a Christian political talk show. I'm your host, Dan Clements, your constitutional warrior, fighting for your right just to be an American. It is June 1st, Friday, June 1st, in the year of our Lord, 2018. Remember, we're a hyphen-free, PC-free zone. God is still in control, and I'm, and He still loves you. And we do what we do here at the Dan Clements Show, knowing the fear of the Lord. We persuade folks of the truth, and I'm broadcasting live from the Hemlock Studios here in the beautiful central Susquehanna Valley in the great Keystone State. Today, I am using the new, what I promised you last weekend. I worked on it most of the week to get all the bugs out for me and figure out how to work everything in it. I'm using the new Steam Labs OBS, Open Broadcast System. I'll remember to put a link down in the show notes for you folks. I forgot to do that, and let me just make a note of that link to, and they call, guess what they call it? Dave, you're going to get a hoot out of this. They call it slobs, Steam Labs, OBS, slobs. I think it just worked out that way. I'll put a link in the show notes, and as always, the show notes are over at the danclementshow.com, and this episode is 984. I'm trying to look over here, and for some reason, my preview isn't working yet on over at the preview isn't working over at YouTube, but the main screen is, and the preview says I'm starting in 37 minutes, and have been that way for I don't know how long now. So, like I said, I don't know what's going on with the preview over there, but everything's working fine over at. At YouTube, I do have a chat up, and hopefully, the way the new Streamlabs works, I have a chat over here on my main screen, and the chat will actually, anybody that types into the chat, it'll automatically show up on the screen over here. It'll actually show up on the screen. You'll see up here, there's a little cup up here, and the reason why there's a little cup up here is I put a link into the chat. And also, if you are watching this video and you go down into the comments below the video, the first thing on there will be a link to my donation site. I'm not big enough for YouTube to allow me to do anything with their donations or anything. So since I've been not partnered up, but since I've been using Streamlabs and I'm signed up with them, they allow me to do that through Streamlabs. They have a pretty big following, so they allowed me to do that. So if you go over to the link that's supplied to you down, and I'll have this on every show below the video, if you are so inclined to, you'll be able to make a donation there. I'm looking for sponsors of the show. I'm looking for one-time donations. I'm looking for monthly donations, reoccurring donations to help me build out this show. One of the first things that I really want to do is build out the equipment a little bit more. I want to upgrade the cameras a little bit, although this is a good, Logitech 920Cs are 1080p HD cameras. They do a really good job of video taping. We don't use tapes anymore, but videoing the program. And so I'm looking at the picture here and the output, and I think that's a handsome devil sitting there looking back at me. Well, I entitled the show today, Tommy Robinson is Right About Islam in the UK. And he is so right that, and I checked the other networks and I didn't see any exposés on it like One American News Network is doing. I have like a 6-minute video I got to share with you folks this morning. And I was going to try to save that for a separate video, and I will do a separate video on that. Like I'm finishing up the rebuttal videos for that socialism video I had that was last week. Things got real busy trying to keep track of everything with Tommy Robbins, and so it's just been a hectic week for me, and also working on this OBS to get it going here. And I'm going to put some links in there too, where you can actually go and look at this, and you know, if you're a YouTuber like I am, or want to be a YouTuber, Steam Labs has, even though it's an OBS is an open source, what they've done is they've taken it and made their own version of it, and it's way easier. Matter of fact, it's less strain on your hardware as far as your CPU usage and stuff like that. It's not a resource hog. I'm not saying OBS is a resource hog, but I tried to use XSplitter, and I would need almost a gaming PC. Excuse me, folks. I don't know if you can hear it in the background. Hopefully you can't. I have the air conditioner on, so it's drying things out in here and cooling it down in here. It's been getting up close to 90 almost every day this week. So, and my office is on the second floor. We got a brand new black shingle roof on, and so it's making things hot in the house here, especially upstairs. All right, well, let's get the show going here. I'm not going to go into a monologue because I got way too much I need to get done today. So let's get right at it, as it were. Today's daily Bible verse comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. An angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." This is Christ speaking to the angel of the church of Laodiceans. And it's strange to hear this when we're talking about being cold or hot. Because in today's society, there's too many people that are lukewarm. They don't want to offend anybody. And so they're not going to be, you know, on one side or the other. They're not going to be cold, and they're not going to be hot. And Christ doesn't want you to be that way. Christ wants you to be right with His Word and with God's Word, but He doesn't want you to be lukewarm. And honestly, that's where moderates politically are, and I have no time for folks like that, that walk the middle line and walk the fence. You know, either you're for it or you're against it. You know, you can't be in the middle of it. Okay, today's quote meal. It's a Chinese Christian saying, proverb. Lord, revive your church and begin with me. Lord, revive your church and begin with me. I don't want to say prophetic, but just how profound is that? We pray a lot about, you know, reviving, you know, the godly spirit in America. We talk about this on this program, you know, about, you know, how even though this isn't a quote-unquote Christian nation, that a lot of the founders were Christians. They believed in the Bible, and they believed in biblical principles of right and wrong. And we often think about how we can correct things in this country, and it begins with us. And that's what they're trying to say here. You know, if you pray to God to revive your church, begin with me. And it always begins with the lowest common denominator. I'm not sure what the what we're trying. I got a question about the passage. It says here, does that mean the angels are a energy, a infortation that is in the body? I'm not exactly sure what you're trying to ask there. Maybe you can reword it for me. Angels are created beings that live in heaven. They're separate from human beings. And in the book of Revelation, I don't want to get real deep here, but the book of Revelation is what they call apocryphal or apocalyptic prophecy. And all that means is it's like a word picture that you have to know some of the meanings of numbers and other things from Jewish history, you know, that are written, you know, in the Old Testament and that are translated in the Old Testament. So I'm not sure information that's in the body. Well, the only information, if you're talking about the church as the body, which, like I said, I'm still not exactly sure what you're trying to ask there, that we have God's Word. And angels are separate from us. And we could actually, you know, if you want to drop me an email, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about it. If you go to thedanclementshow.com and hit the contact button, it'll send me an email, and I'm more than happy to get in depth with you on this, and maybe eventually, you know, set up maybe a Skype call with you so we can discuss these things either, you know, through audio or do a video conferencing with that. So again, that's metaphoric. And I think I know where you're getting at here. That's a metaphor, what he's talking about here. I know your works, that they're neither hot nor cold, and I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's not literal. And I've come across too many people in recent days that want to say the whole Bible's literal. Either it's literal or it isn't. And the Bible is a lot like other books, the way it's written. You have different literary vehicles in which to convey the thoughts and the meanings of the words, just like any book that's written out here. Any book, any modern day book here. So you have to know, like I said, you have to know, like in the book of Revelation and elsewhere, these are not literal. These are not literal. That's a metaphoric. So I guess hopefully that answers your question about that. Right. An angel is a messenger. An angel is a messenger. And it was a messenger to the church of the Laodiceans. Write these things. Tell the Laodiceans these things. And again, this you have to know your books. You have to know what literary vehicles being used in that particular book. Like I said, I've come across too many humanists out there that try to tell me, well, either the Bible's literal or it isn't. And you're doing a disservice to the Bible. You're doing a disservice to literature throughout the ages if you look at the Bible and say, hey, everything in it's literal. We have to take it literally. You know, just like Jesus said that, you know, why do you strain to take a splinter out of your friend's eye when you got a beam sticking out of your eye back in the Gospels? Now, that's not literal. He isn't literally saying you have a beam in your eye. What he's saying is something close to what Jordan Peterson's saying. Clean your room up. Make sure you're okay before you try to help somebody else. Today's short Bible lesson, 8 sins Christians are starting to ignore. And it's an updated list. This is by Rachel Claire Cockrell over at ibelieve.com. And they didn't have an actual date on it, but it was posted this year, 2018. So I encourage you to go over to thedanclementshow.com and click on the episode for today. Again, the episode number is 984, and the title is Tommy Robinson is Right About Islam in the UK. That's a really good read, and these are some people, oh, these are just minor sins. You know, they're no big deal. Well, sin is sin. Sin is sin. You know, it's all missing the mark on how God wants us to live our lives. Okay, let's see here. I want to go to this video first. Let me set this up real quick. It's One American News Network did a little expose here. This video is about 6 minutes long, and it's talking about political Islam. Now, if you've listened to the show any time or for any length of time, you know my views on Islam. That it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's not a religion. It's a theopolitical ideology, I guess we could call it, that hides behind the mask of religion. But if you look at who Muhammad was and what he did and the awful evil things that he did, and if you ever care to study the Quran, which I haven't studied it word for word for all the way through. However, I have read enough of it. I've seen enough of these passages that talk that you know, these jihadists use to justify their works and what they actually do, to know that those verses are in there. If Islam is a true religion, those verses wouldn't be in there. You know, in the New Testament, my Bible says that don't hate your enemies, but love your enemies and pray for them. You know, and that's counterintuitive to just about everything we were taught growing up. And so, again, I know a lot of people have called me a racist, Islamophobic, which is not a word, and all other sorts of names, you know, that you can think of, associated with the alt-right and everything, which I'm not. Because I do not believe that Islam is a true religion. Matter of fact, I have a couple friends, one in particular that's working up in Dearborn, Michigan, who grew up in Iraq, was a Muslim, believed in Islam, and then he come across the gospel of Christ, and he started studying that, and came to realize that what he was reading in the Bible was the true religion, versus what he read in the Quran. And he's very, very knowledgeable in the Quran because he teaches Muslims up in Dearborn, Michigan, and he's converted quite a few of them already to Christianity. And he said those verses, what they call the death verses, which there's over 109 of them throughout the Quran, they're part of the Quran. And those have to be taken in consideration when we're talking about jihadi and stuff like that. So, okay, I got someone in the chat room that's asked me questions, and I'm going to copy the chat room down. And if you want to get with me, please email me about that. Or if you want to put your email in there, I'll email you about your questions there. Islam is dangerous for the unbelievers. Yeah, that's why it's. There's over 109 or 119, I think it's 109, what they're called death passages, where they actually talk about, you know, killing the infidel, the unbeliever, or killing the Jew. There's two different references in the Quran. And I don't read that in my New Testament. I don't read where we're supposed to go out and convert people by the sword. It just doesn't happen that way. Okay, let me get this set up here. And I do have, just to let you know, with this Streamlabs, I have an app on my smartphone where I can actually start working both hands here on my sound, on my board, and everything else. So let me get this set up. Again, this is about a six-minute video from One American News Network, and it's an expose on the Islam, political Islam. And it is a political theocracy idea or theocratical ideology. That disguises itself as religion, and they do not want to assimilate. The Islam, the Quran, is anti-freedom, anti-liberty. They do not want to come in and assimilate into our society and allow us our freedoms and our liberties, and that they want to take over. They want to enact Sharia law. They want to make sure that the infidel is punished. They want to make sure that Allah's will and Muhammad is his messenger. They want to make sure that his will is done, whether you agree with them or not. And they will not sit down and study with, not a jihadist, the extremist will not sit down and study with you. You're an infidel. You have nothing good to say. There are some moderate Islamists or Muslims that are open to the idea. If there wasn't, my friend up in Dearborn wouldn't be able to do his work and teach these folks the Gospels. I got to answer this question. It says, don't you think when the whole world believes in one direction, it's better? No. Let me back it up. It depends on what you're believing in. If you're believing in the Quran, no, because of the inherent evil that's in the Quran. If you're talking about the New Testament, the gospel of Christ, I believe that would be a better way to go. Do I think... not everybody's going to follow that way, though. And there's secular humanists that don't believe in any religion. that believe that government is their God, and they believe in the state, and they believe in the power of the state. Western civilization, and this is what a lot of people don't understand, Western civilization would not exist without an understanding of the Bible. Now, I'm not saying, and as a lot of people say, and I used to think this way. Back in the day when I was doing my podcast, I used to think this way, that we were formed as a Christian nation. And we were not formed to be a Christian nation, but if you go back and look at the Declaration of Independence, you go back and look at the Constitution, they both talk about God. You look at some of the congressional pronouncements, you look at some of the declarations from the first couple of presidents, Christian, heavily religious, recognizing God, recognizing all that. And Western civilization, our freedom and our liberties are founded on the ideas of Christianity, the freedoms and liberty that are found in Christianity. And when I talk to people about Islam, I ask them to show me in Islam or the Quran where the freedom and liberty is. Where the freedom and liberty is. God gives us a choice whether we believe in Him or not. God's not going to force us to worship Him. That's not so with Allah, the Quran, or Muhammad, His messenger. If you don't believe, you're supposed to be killed. You're an infidel. You're not fit to live. You're not fit to breathe the same air they are. And I'm sorry, I'm just not going to worship a God that's going to force me. You know, God comes and God lets us have free will, and He lays out His word and His will for our lives and says, you can follow me or not. It's just that simple. God does not force people, and I can't either. One planet consciousness. No, I don't. The question was asked, don't you think we are, as a people, we are on a journey to a one planet consciousness? No. that's a utopia that'll never happen. No matter how much man struggles to make that happen, that'll never happen. All right, let me get over to this video now, and we'll get this started here.
A new survey shows a majority of Europeans are supporting the de-Islamization of Western countries. One America's Christian Rose explains.
Calls for a sweeping de-Islamization of the UK are growing among British citizens and across the entire European continent. This according to a new poll from the Pew Research Centre, which found 71% of respondents support a ban on Islamic veils, while 45% of Brits say Islam is fundamentally incompatible with the British values and culture. The survey's findings come amid a rise in terror activity, Muslim gangs and vicious knife attacks all across the UK.
I was criticised by certain sections of the media for calling radical Islam a cancer in our society following the Westminster attack. I make no apologies for saying this, and I will repeat it today. It is a cancer that needs to be cut out.
Meanwhile, a separate study from Pew Research found Islam is currently the fastest growing religion in the US. Islamic communities have mushroomed across the Rust Belt during the Obama years, with Muslims seeking to outpopulate the American working class, decimated by the opioid crisis and jobs going overseas.
This is our country. This is a place we grew up in. And right now we're being told that we shouldn't be here. We will not be silent. We will not be invisible.
In recent years, Washington-based Council on American Islamic Relations, known as CARE, has firmly aligned itself with the Democrat system across the U.S., leading an attack against President Trump and his agenda of keeping America safe.
When candidates or commentators talk about Islam or Muslims, they should think about the effects of their words on the everyday lives of millions of American Muslim children growing up across our nation.
Meantime, National Security Council Chief of Staff Fred Flights warned Islam is seeking to take over the US, create a global caliphate, and impose Sharia law on everyone. Flights pointed to the widespread refusal across US Islamic communities to assimilate, their sympathetic view of radical left and political Islamic ideologies, and the rise in Islamic education of their children.
I feel extremely angered by the fact that they are not respecting us as parents to make decisions regarding our children's upbringing. If you want to teach our children to be respectful, you must respect us.
The ongoing mass migration crisis, both in the US and Europe, is another product of left-wing machine politics aimed at bringing down labor costs while cementing the left's political dominance by the means of migrant votes, welfare benefits, and the rhetoric of social justice.
If y'all hate America, get the hell out. There's plenty of other nations to go to. You ain't gotta be here. We don't want you. You don't need to be here.
According to Alexander Gauland, the leader of Germany's third largest party, AfD, the left has also been promoting the narratives of white man's guilt and self-loathing amongst the core demographics in Christian countries. Gauland urged decisive action to reverse the gradual decline of Western culture.
We are here to stay and to change the society. And no one within the establishment parties has imagined that this would change. The people have started to turn away from the totally damaging policies like it happened in Hungary, in Poland, in Slovakia, and in Austria. And now we are also here and we oppose this multicultural madness.
While Europe is urging and actually taking action to de-Islamize, the US appears to be falling behind with mainstream narratives dominated by tabloid-style celebrity stories. Christian Rose, One American News.
We can use your help. Call your cable provider and kindly demand that One American News is added to your lineup. Call today.
All right, folks, that was, like I said, that was One American News Network. And they're the news network of choice for me. That's the one I use. That's the one I go to. They do a lot of the work other networks won't do, like these exposés on political Islam. And when I say political Islam, always remember that I'm talking about a theocratical theology that is also a political entity. It permeates. And not only, and this is, let me differentiate here, Western civilization was built on the ideas of Christianity, about the freedoms and liberty that we find in Christianity, about the, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The libertarians would call that the non-aggression principle, that you don't aggress against somebody else, but you're allowed to protect yourself if someone aggresses against you. And so even though Western civilization is better understood, through the eyes of the New Testament and some of the Old Testament, but mainly the New Testament in teachings and, as far as tolerance and patience and non-aggression and all that kind of stuff, when you take a good look at Sharia law, the Quran, Islam as a whole, and that's another thing that I have to laugh at. My detractors, I'm racist because I speak against Islam. Islam's not a race. If you're a Muslim, that's not a race either. A Muslim is just an adherent to Islam. And they are many different races that adhere to Islam. There are dozens of ethnicities that belong to Islam. I was just watching on this video. If you watched that video in front of the White House, there's three or four guys that were totally white. They're whiter than I am, and I'm pretty white, that were in there and that were with the Islamist. They're, saying we need to do this. And what's happening, and I got some stories here. I mean, I went through, and I was going one direction with the show and ended up going a whole nother direction because to talk about everything that's gone wrong over, especially the UK, but Europe as a whole, but I focus on UK because the UK, because that's where Tommy Robinson's from. I have articles going clear back to 2000, or I found articles, I don't have them written down here on my show notes page, but I found articles that were going clear back to 2011, 2012, 2013, where people were investigating these rape grooming gangs. I have an article in here, from Forbes back on August 30th, 2016, why did British police ignore Pakistan gang abusing 1,400 Rotherham children? And they ask the question, is it political correctness, by Roger Scruton? Yeah, I think political correctness has done great damage to Western civilization. It really has. because and I think Jordan Peterson talks about this quite a bit too, that, and he was talking about gender pronouns, that if I look at you and you're a woman and I'm definitely a man, it doesn't bother me that you called me a man or he or him. That doesn't bother me one bit. Matter of fact, if you want to call me a woman, that's fine too, because I shouldn't be able to force you to call me anything that I want. And that's what Canada's doing. They're actually forcing people by law, saying you have to use their proper pronouns. And Jordan Peterson says, no, that's infringing on my freedom of speech. You can't control my speech. And he's absolutely right. And so political correctness is one of the things that's killing Western civilization. Diversity. I had a big argument with a cousin of mine out in Iowa about diversity. I said, diversity is killing Western civilization, Western culture. And she was all, diversity makes us stronger. No, it doesn't. Because if you're going to diversify a culture, at least the people coming in need to assimilate into that culture. Islam, wherever it's gone, does not assimilate. Does not assimilate. Matter of fact, they are so... Well, I'm going to use a Star Trek reference here, folks. If you want to think in terms of Islam, think about the Borg. If you're a Star Trek fan, think about the Borg. You know, they didn't care about you. They didn't care about your ideas. They didn't care about anything. You know, they were just there to assimilate you into their culture. And that's exactly what Islam does. They want you to change and adhere to the political, theocratical system or ideology that they're putting forth without allowing you any freedom to debate it or to say, no, I'm not going to listen to that because it's not a true religion. And that's the way things are. And so when I go through and see these articles like political correctness, is it because of political correctness? Absolutely. I got another one clear back in June of 2015. West Midland police withheld report revealing how Muslim gangs groomed girls, by Martin Robinson, and that's over to Mail Online. That first one was from Forbes.com. This one's Mail Online at the DailyMail.co.uk. And they withheld reporting. Why? Because it wasn't politically correct for them to report on Muslims. Another one, UK detective who exposed Muslim rape gangs was threatened and bullied by other cops for doing so, by Robert Spencer over Jihad Watch, and this was posted back on November 19th of last year. I went through and read on that and stuff like that. It was like, because she reported on the Muslim rape gangs and wanted to expose them, she's being bullied. Why was she being bullied? I believe it was because of political correctness coming down from the higher-ups. Horrific abuse scandal in town dubbed the child sex capital of Britain by Geraldine McCleavy over at the Mirror. That's another UK paper posted 8/27/2016. And there's, I was reading through, I left out some that were the headlines I just was not going to share on this program because this is a Christian, you know, Christian political commentary. And I just wasn't going to share some of them horrific headlines that were on, you know, just that were in some of these newspapers. It made me sick to even read them myself. What these animals, and yes, these rape grooming animals were doing to children who were even as young in their single digits. I'll just put it that way. I don't want to get too far into that. And it just amazes me how people still want to support Islam. Oh, it's the religion of peace. My hind foot, it's a religion of peace. So I have here up on, I wanted to check. I've been checking every morning to see if there's any, and I don't know why that didn't switch over. I'm having some issues here with the studio mode on this OSB. It was working okay yesterday, or OBS. Working okay yesterday, but I have to switch off of that. Okay, I've been checking on news about Tommy Robinson. And, you know, praying against, you know, praying against hope that he does not get killed in prison. So I don't want to see that happen. There's a good chance it could happen. I do have, I was watching some news on Sky News yesterday, but I couldn't find it in their print stuff, that Tommy Robinson's actual lawyer has finally gotten in to see him, which this whole thing was, trust me, I tell you, I know a little bit about Scottish justice and Scottish courtroom procedures. They come down on you pretty hard, even for parking tickets, back when I was stationed over there in 82 to 84. And I witnessed that. And they can be, some of the sentences for even being in contempt of court. One of the young sailors that was just ahead of me, all he had was a disturbing the peace, which the judge was going to allow him to serve his time on the ship, on, you know, being confined to the ship for, I think it was 60 days. Because he could, the guy could have gotten 60 days in jail for disturbing the peace. He was drunk and disorderly and stuff, but they just wrote it up as disturbing the peace. And the guy started laughing, and he's saying, you can't do that. You can't tell our ship what to do and stuff. And the judge says, look, you say one more word, I'm going to hold you in contempt of court, and we're going to put you in the jail for the 60 days. And he tried to start arguing again with this Scottish judge, and it didn't work out well for him. He spent 60 days in jail, and then when he got out and came to the ship, he spent 90 days on restriction on the ship because he was AWOL all that time. He could have got a lot more. Matter of fact, they could have sent him to the brig up in Etzel, Scotland, up at the Air Force Base, but they just put it to 90 days. So I know a little bit about Scottish justice, but this whole thing with Tommy Robinson, within 4 hours, he'd been through a court hearing without his lawyer. He was assigned a lawyer by the prosecutors. And even though he was on, and this is some things you have to understand about him, and I'll try to catch you up as I'm going through this, he was on a suspended sentence already. Where he was videotaping, he was not on court property. He did not enter the court. I say videotaping, but he was live streaming on his cell phone. And all of a sudden, the police showed up. And I can't help but think that somebody told the judge or someone told somebody in the court that Tommy Robinson's outside. And they hauled him away because he was in contempt of court for, you know, that breaching the terms of his suspended sentence. But nobody seemed to be reporting or keeping track of all these rape grooming gangs, mainly made up of Muslims from Pakistan. And this is something that's been bothered him. And I can see why. And it bothers me when I see in our own United States, I mean, back when I was podcasting only, they talked about honor killings. They talked about, you know, there was, I think it was up in Michigan, that a father killed his daughter because she married the wrong person. And so he killed her. Now he's sitting in jail the rest of his life for doing that because we don't put up with that nonsense here in America. It's murder. You can say, well, my religion said it's honor killing. Again, what religion, what true religion would have the father kill the daughter because the religion didn't agree with the daughter marrying somebody that wasn't a Muslim? So therefore, we have to kill the daughter. What religion? And you got to remember that Muhammad was this way. A lot of people don't know this. A lot of people forget this, that Muhammad was a pedophile and married a teenage girl, a young teenage girl. And so with Muhammad, it was all right. Muhammad was a murderer. Muhammad was a liar. You know, and it goes right down the line. And then we have all these people following that religion on the say-so of one man that said that he was with Allah in that cave, and Allah gave him the words of the Quran. It's just, again, that's to me, I think of the Mormon faith. You know, Joseph Smith was given those golden tablets. No one else seen them but Joseph Smith. Nobody. And yet we're supposed to believe Joseph Smith. We're supposed to believe Muhammad. So Today, I looked through the news today, and thank God I didn't find anything saying that Tommy Robinson has died in prison. But today, over there, which they're 5 hours behind us, or ahead of us, actually, we're 5 hours behind them, it's already, almost 6 o'clock at night over in the UK. Tommy Robinson supporters overrun city center as hundreds gather outside of the court, and that's the Leeds court, where they were at. There's over 400 people there. There were some morons there that were throwing flares on top of buildings and throwing soda cans at police and stuff like that. Those are the morons. But a lot of these people were marching in protest of what the British government was doing, what the British government's doing. And the only other news of note was over at Sky News. Samantha Markle demands release of Tommy Robinson. Now Samantha Markle is the sister of the new Duchess of Sussex. And so she tweeted out, that they wanted to see this Tommy Robinson released. And here it is. Breitbart's reporting that 500,000 have signed Free Tommy petition. Now, it's just a petition, but over 500,000. And this was posted on, on the 30th. So that was 2 days ago, or a day ago. Anyway, it was posted on the 30th, and there could be a lot more. I didn't go over to the link and check and see where this was at. There's a petition out there. This is what really ticked me off. Now I'm not getting after YouTubers. Now trust me, I'm not. I'm not laying this on British YouTubers at all. The one, I don't know him personally, but I know him just by his work, Sargon of Akkad. And he had a video out explaining why he wasn't going to do what Tommy's doing. And I don't blame him, because he does not have the backing of a big company. If he goes to jail, his family goes destitute, because then he's not going to be able to make his, make a living to support his family. I understand that. But what I don't understand are some of these big newspapers like The Guardian, and like The Mail, like The Mirror. Why they allowed this judge at Leeds Court to put a gag order on reporting on the arrest and imprisonment of Tommy Robinson. By the time the press even got out of their offices, he was cooling his heels in a hooskow. The court proceedings were already over. He's been sentenced 13 months. I think 10 months for contempt of court and 3 for breaching the peace. Or it could be the vice versa, the other way around. So, again, I'm just looking at the comments that were coming in there. So, again, we have these freedoms that we Americans take for granted sometimes, I believe, that do come under attack, and not by what the left talks about Donald Trump attacking the press. Oh, he's being dictatorial over the press. I haven't seen one news outlet shut down. Now, there has been some restrictions on some of the news outlets, on some of the reporters being allowed in at briefings. And that's, folks, presidents and the press corps in Washington, D.C., on whoever's in power at the time, because you got press releases coming from the Department of Justice, from the Department of State, from the DOD, and you got press secretaries for all of those. And then you got the head press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, over for the administration. And they have, throughout time in memoriam, have restricted access to some reporters to allow other reporters to come in. And, I do not fault. I don't care even if Barack Obama did it. It's his prerogative and his administration's prerogative to do so, to restrict reporters and sometimes to restrict a whole news agency, depending on what has happened. And I do believe under Obama's, and I could be wrong, I could be thinking of the wrong president, but I think it was AP, just the Washington the Washington reporters for one for the I'm pretty sure it's the press secretary for the president or the administration, they were banned for like 30 days for something that happened. I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what happened. So it's again, we take some of these things for granted. Now over in England, again, I'm not saying this about the individual bloggers, the individual vloggers, or those that have YouTube channels that they make a living off of, commentating on the news and stuff like that. They were loath to report things about Tommy Robinson. Now, I'd love in the future to be hooked up with some of these guys where they can email that stuff to me, at least tell me the links where to find the information or give me the information that they know, and I would publish it over here. But that had to be done in such a way where it couldn't be traced to either one of us. I use a VPN on my network and my computers at home. So, and I know most of these other folks over in the UK that I follow, they advertise for VPNs, virtual private networks. And so I'm pretty sure they're using them for everything that they're doing. I mean, my email's covered in it and everything. So what's happening with the rape gang, the rape grooming gangs, has been, you know, a gag order by judges because they don't want to influence the prosecutor, the juries, or whatever. And so there's very little reporting on all this stuff until after the fact. And that wasn't good enough for Tommy Robinson. And I agree with him. It wasn't good enough for the British people. But I believe, and there is one. The Independent, it's an editorial by The Independent, a UK paper. The Independent wanted to make sure, and I'll just bring it up here real quick. This is over at yahoo.com. The Independent has made sure that justice is seen to be done in the case of Tommy Robinson. Now, this is an editorial. Like him or loathe him, the jailing of Tommy Robinson for contempt of court was an event of legitimate press and public interest. It cannot be right, whatever else, that a British citizen can be deprived of their liberty in the dark. The very fact of their whereabouts made a secret. It feels wrong, and in spirit at least, partly in breach of the ancient principles of habeas corpus. The answer to the question, where's Tommy, cannot be, we know, but we cannot tell you because the court says so. Besides, social media is wild enough to make that impossible anyway. As the old adage goes, justice should be done and seen to be done. That is why the Independent chose to challenge the situation. In Robinson's case, it cannot be said that until the intervention of the Independent and the Leeds Live, justice was being properly seen to be done. And the whole thing was getting farcical. Now justice has been done, seen to be done, to the extent that it can be. Robinson, who co-founded the English Defense League and whose real name is Stefan, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his middle name, Lennon, has been listed on the court documents, was jailed for a specific offense connected with a Facebook live broadcast. As a matter of fact, he admitted contempt of court through publishing information that could prejudice a current trial. Whatever the trial was about, it, like all other legal processes, should not be undermined or derailed completely by the activities of one or more people seeking publicity, pursuing some cause of their own, or simply causing mischief. Justice is too important for that. And it is right that those held in contempt of court should suffer the consequences. That is the point of having contempt laws. The 13-month sentence handed down in circumstances that can still not be fully disclosed by the media because that would merely repeat the original contempt appears justified and proportionate. Robinson was already subject to a suspended sentence for committing contempt during a rape trial in Canterbury last year, and had been told that he fell afoul of the law again, he would have to go to prison. The wider question that this episode raises is the future and present viability of contempt laws in an era when social media and the internet can be so easily and rapidly deployed to the detriment of justice and a fair trial. Now, I want to stop the reading right there because he said this a few times during this, okay, in this editorial, or she, them, it, said this a few times. In the United States, that rarely happens because if it's a case of significant importance, They can sequester the jury and keep tabs on the information they're getting, because they're not supposed to be getting any, or it will prejudice that juror. But for some reason, beyond my imagination, it seems like they can't do that in Britain. So instead of taking steps to sequester the information getting to the jurors, if it's a jury trial, they want to gag the press. Now we're talking about a country where we're talking about the Magna Carta. We're talking about when the dukes and the earls got together and forced the king to sign their like a Bill of Rights, you know, human rights. We're talking about the country that gave us John Locke and his couple treaties on government, a couple volumes, and his arguments about natural law, that there is natural law that human beings have that they had before governments were formed. And that's one of the unique things about the United States. The founding fathers and the framers of our Constitution had it in their minds, the idea that the individual is sovereign over the state and has rights, God-given rights or natural rights, whatever you want to call them, that they had before government was ever formed. They had, you had to have people. You had to have people before government. I mean, it's just that simple. And if you didn't have people before government, you wouldn't have a government. You wouldn't have a country. So again, it's that simple, you know, to me anyway. It's common sense. It's logical to think that. So the fact that the press wasn't able to talk about Tommy Robinson for a few days is ridiculous. And it does fly in the order of the old laws of habeas corpus. You know, when he said up here in the first paragraph up here, he said, the very fact that their whereabouts were made a secret feels wrong, and in the spirit at least, partially in breach of the ancient principle of habeas corpus. Now, basically what it is you come to court with a writ of habeas corpus, the court has to produce the body. Corpus, the body. You know, they have to physically produce that. And if one judge won't do it, if in a trial or something like that, it used to be, this is something that I don't think it happens much now, but, you know, it can go on, where they send a suspect from precinct to precinct to precinct, let's say in New York City, trying to find out if maybe they've committed crimes, you know, unsolved crimes in that precinct, to keep them out of the hands of a lawyer as long as they could. Well, all the lawyer's got to do is find a judge and submit a writ of habeas corpus and wait there, and the judge will get a hold of the, you know, the authority that has the person and order them to produce that person, or they themselves will be in contempt of court. And so I didn't hear anything about his lawyer being able to go to court with a writ of habeas corpus over in England. Now, I do have an article I don't know if I'm going to get to. It's by Rush Limbaugh, What You Need to Know About Tommy Robinson. And one of the things he says in here, and this is something you have to remember, that Britain, the UK, the United Kingdom, does not have a written constitution like we have. It does not have a Bill of Rights that protects us and our rights against overreach from government. They don't have that. And that's something that's sorely needed in the UK. And this is one thing that I talk to people about when we get in discussions about what's the best type of government we have. Now, in my opinion, there's no good government. There's some better than others, because all government gets corrupt eventually. Even our constitutional republic has been corrupted. It's slowly, I believe, through the internet and through programs like mine, where we discuss from time to time the Constitution, and we have this wonderful tool called the internet and YouTube, and I'm able to sit here and talk to you folks, you know, through a video connection and answer questions that come up, or look at the things that come up in the chat, you know, for the show. We have these tools to inform people. I believe for the longest time, government became corrupted because people didn't know. And people couldn't find out. It was hard. It was hard to find out. All I had was your newspapers. The newspapers weren't going to report it, or the news on the radio. You know, if you're old enough, when you just had radios, or on the TV, if they're not going to tell you these things, you're not informed. So it is going to be programs like mine and others that are on YouTube that are going to expose these things, and hopefully, you know, do a service to, you know, to our fellow man, especially here in America, to our fellow citizens, you know, that, hey, the government is doing wrong here and we need to correct this. And I know that Britain made a mistake by jailing Tommy Robinson. They had every right to do so. They did. They had every right. He knew what he was doing by being in front of that court, that he was going to violate and be in contempt of court for violation. And as far as breaching the peace, he was like one or two people that were out front, and that was it. And he knew what he was doing. But I honestly believe that the jailing of Tommy Robinson has awakened a sleeping giant of the people in the UK. I think they've had enough of this. They've had enough of seeing their country being overrun by Islam. That's why I played that video clip for you in the beginning. They've just had enough of this. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them one bit for being fed up with this. You have a group of people, and this is something that we really need to get in our minds. There is a group of people with an ideology that is not compatible with freedom and liberty that is coming over there, building mosques, soaking up welfare in Britain and across the EU. They are doing something now that they couldn't get done during the caliphates of the Crusade. And even back then, during the Crusades, especially when they got as far up into Europe as France, and the French king, and I can't remember the names off the top of my head at this moment, pretty much thought the same way we did. We cannot allow these invaders to come in and change our way of life. And so they didn't let them settle there. They beat them back, right back into the Middle East and further. The Ottoman Empire was taken down during World War I. And a lot of the Islam was pushed even further back than that. But I'm getting a little off track here. What Islam failed to do during the Crusades, they've more than made up for now with millions of people, refugees, coming into Europe. Now, there's a couple countries that aren't playing ball. You have Hungary and you have Poland. The EU has been pressuring both of them. Matter of fact, Turkey, which is a secular Islamist country, is siding with the refugees. And Turkey's like a staging point for some refugees to get into Europe. You have parts of the Nordic part of Europe, like Sweden, that are on fire. You have Paris, you have France going through and getting rid of these refugee camps that are popping up all over the place. People are starting, over in Europe anyway, they are starting to have enough of Islam. And this is why I believe that the arrest of Tommy Robinson, even though it is legal and it is right, I think it was wrong-headed. Because I don't think the judge there at the Leeds court, and I don't think the globalists that are in the House of Lords and some of the House of Commons, who for whatever reason believe it's okay to allow these Muslims to come into the country unchecked, not willing to assimilate into our society and our culture. I'm talking about, I say ours accommodatively, about the British society and the British culture. And there's only, and I remember we talked about this on the show last year, because people were asking, why are Democrats so approving of Islam, political theocratical Islam coming to the United States. And there's only one answer I can give you. Whether it's right or wrong, whether you believe me or not, or whether you agree with me or not, there's only one answer I can give you. Democrats, leftists, anti-freedom progressives in this country, because I'm getting away from that left-right paradigm because it doesn't do justice to everything. I'm judging things either they're going to be for freedom and liberty or they're going to take away our freedom and liberties. They're going to enhance our freedoms and liberties or they're going to squash our freedoms and liberties. And the progressives, the humanist progressives in this country like Bernie Sanders, the social Democrats, they do not like Western culture the way it is. Because deep down, and they'll tell you this, they'll tell you that Venezuela is not a socialist country. Oh, that's not a good example of socialism. It is the perfect example of socialism. We talked about this last Friday. Because socialism always needs leaders. Any type of political system you have needs some type of leaders. And socialism is authoritarian. And whether the leader comes from the politico class or from the unwashed underclass of the country, someone's going to lead. Someone is going to lead. And it's just that simple. And Venezuela is the most perfect example of why socialism doesn't work. And I keep getting that thrown back. That's why I talked about that video last week. I'm getting some more videos up to finish up the rebuttal on that. And it just amazes me how these people think. But they don't like Western culture. They do not like Western values because of the freedom and the liberties that it protects of the individual. Now, you got to remember, social Democrats, progressive humanists, they don't believe in the individual. They believe in the collective. They believe the rights of the collective trump the rights of the individual. Now, as a constitutional conservative, as a Christian, I can't abide by that. I can't, because there's no such thing as group rights. That's a collectivist ideology. And if you're going to allow the collective to trump the rights or trample on the rights of the individual, you're going to have a fight on your hands because you're going to come across some individuals that don't like the rights being trampled on and don't agree with the collective. Just like there's a lot of people across the country that didn't believe that Obamacare was a good thing. The Affordable Health Care Act was a good thing for the country because it diminished their freedoms and liberties. And they were right to think that. And no matter how you argued it, you're not going to change the mind of a social Democrat or progressive humanist. They're the same thing, socialist. You're not going to change their minds because they got it in their heads that the collective will, the collective rights out trump they trump, pun intended, the rights of and the will of the individual. And that's where you get things like Stalin's Russia and Mao's China, which they decry, which social Democrats today, the 21st century socialists decry, well, that's not true socialism. Yeah, it is. I'm afraid to tell you. Yeah, it is. And what they try to do is they're trying to redefine these terms. Now, I don't want to get too far afield off there, but this is what social Democrats, they do not like Western culture because of the freedoms of the individual over the collective. And anything that can help them destroy that, now get this, anything that will help them destroy Western culture and get rid of the idea of individual rights trump collective rights, they're going to support. Now, if it goes to its logical conclusion, and let's say this becomes an Islamic State of America, like the Social Democrats want, guess who's next on the Islamist agenda for people to get rid of? You guessed it, the Social Democrats and the Progressive Humanist. Because most of them are, at the least, they're agnostic. At the worst, they're atheist. And the Muslims who believe in Islam aren't going to tolerate that. And so the social Democrats in this country are not playing the long game. They just really aren't. They're so short-sighted that they'll literally destroy the country that allows them the freedoms to believe the way they believe and allow a power or allow a political, theocratical system to rise that will not allow them to think the way they're thinking now. It's crazy how these folks think. It really is. Now, there's some, and I'm not going to be able to get into them because I'm already a little over an hour, and it'll take me another hour to go through all these articles. But again, you go to the danclementshow.com, and on the show notes page 984, you'll see here where Tommy Robinson is right about, let me go up and get the title again. Tommy Robinson is right about Islam in the UK. And he cares enough about British culture, British history, that he sees the handwriting on the wall. And folks, nothing against Tommy. He's not a genius. I'm not a genius. But you take a guy like Tommy, he sees it. I see it. There's a lot of people like Tommy and myself who see the handwriting on the wall. And you saw in that video, well, we were born here. Okay. We're not stopping. We're not stopping people from practicing the religion they want to practice. But when that religion crosses a political line to where you use politics to force people to believe the way you believe, you've just crossed a line. You've just crossed a line. It's like the Roman army crossing the Rubicon. And once you cross that line, it's almost going to be a free-for-all. Because you're going to have people that are going to push back against that. You're going to have people that are going to push back against the idea that there's folks out there that's going to use politics to get their way. We have that already. Social Democrats, progressive humanists, they use the law to force their ideology on other folks. They absolutely do. ACA is part of that ideology. Oh, everybody, we got to cover, we're the only industrialized nation in the world that doesn't have universal health care. Well, there's a reason why. Because what happens if you don't want to participate in that? And as an American, you shouldn't be forced to participate into something you don't want to participate in. And this is where we come with the ACA about the collective will or collective rights. You know, because you talk to these people, well, if you get sick, then we're not going to pay for your bills. Okay, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. There's no safety net for you. I'm fine with that. I'll supply my own safety net, thank you very much, if you would get out of my way. If you would just get out of my way. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of progressive things that we do. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, that we pay into out of our paychecks. That we can't opt out of. I ask these social Democrats all the time. I want to opt out of that. How do I opt out of that? Well, you can't. Well, why can't I? Where's the freedom and liberty in that? And they come back with some of the screwiest arguments I've ever heard. The worst one I've heard, and actually made me laugh, well, where's the freedom in allowing the insurance companies to, you know, steal from you and do all sorts of, I don't remember the exact quote. And I'm like, what are you talking about? If I don't want to deal with an insurance company, I won't deal with them. Thank God Pennsylvania didn't get on this on the marketplace, you know, for the insurance. Matter of fact, I think even at the state level, they've got insurance cranked down. Even before the Obamacare, there's only five health insurers that were allowed to sell health insurance in Pennsylvania. Well, where's the freedom and liberty in that? What happens if I find a policy down in Arizona that fits my family better as far as coverage and the prices where I want, the price points were? Why can't I buy that down there? I have a friend that sells insurance. Well, there's too many people that don't know enough about insurance. Can I come and ask you if I'm getting a good deal? I'll even pay you a couple bucks for your advice if you want. And he looked at me because he was on the side of the state, you know, sort of keeping things down. I said, why can't we go find a friend that we know or an acquaintance that knows a little bit more about insurance than we do and ask him, is this policy a good deal? What's so hard about that? And honestly, he never thought about that before. So social Democrats, they want Western culture to fail because it doesn't live up to their ideology. And we look, Europe is the handwriting on the wall for the United States. All we got to do is look over Europe and see what's happening, and we got to put the kibosh on it over here. And if you're a Muslim and you believe in Islam and you believe in Sharia law and you want to see that come to fruition in the United States, you're in the wrong country. There are countries that practice that. Go live in those countries. If you are that hell-bent, excuse my French, on practicing Islam and adhering to Sharia law, there are plenty of countries around the world that you would be very welcome. And matter of fact, I know there'd be people here in the United States that would help pack your bags and buy the plane ticket for you to go to that country. Quit trying to change Western culture. And that's what we're fighting about. That's what the Tommy Robinsons of the world are fighting. That's what the Sargon of Akkad are fighting. That's what the Dan Clements Show was fighting. You know, we're in a cultural war here that we dare not lose. Because if we lose it, we lose our freedom and liberty along with it. I worship a God that gives me the freedom and liberty to worship Him or not. To follow His word or not. To preach His word to other people or not. God's not going to force me to do these things. I do these things out of free will. So there's a lot of information, like I said, over on the DanClementShow.com on this episode. That one article I had up there by Bruce Bauer over at Jess Estonian Institute. I have to go over there and read completely what they're all about. But I read the article; it's very good. UK Justice silencing the silencing. You know, talking about the silencing. You know, the muzzling of the press. And again, where was the big media besides Fox News? And besides One American News Network, that actually reported on this stuff over here. Breitbart UK took down an article. They're a big media outlet. Where was their spying? A lot of the big media, and I think including the Independent, took down articles until they could figure out what was going on. We're talking about some big companies. I don't think that judge has the power to go up against some of these big media outlets over in the UK. I could be wrong, but just making sure that justice has been seen to be done isn't good enough to me. They should have been in court from day one, habeas corpus, the whole nine yards. They should have been filing petitions to be able to report on this, to get his solicitor in to see him. I was on YouTube yesterday. I saw someone was sharing a video that he had put out. I don't know if they actually shared the video or just said. I didn't watch it. But Tommy Robinson has left a video in case he's murdered in prison. Because he's fearing for his life in there. And he did all this, what he did, knowing that. So it's, some people say it's brave. Some people say it isn't. I think in human history, you have turning points in history. And I think in Britain, what the justice system did over there, what the PMs or MPs are doing over there, what the House of Lords, Theresa May, the whole nine yards, I think what they did with this whole Islamic thing is they woke a sleeping giant. And Tommy Robinson was just the lighting the fuse. And I think as we see the days go by that he's in prison, I think this is going to get more and more attention. It's going to get more traction. And I think in their next elections, you're going to see this bear out. I don't see a Theresa May being reelected. I don't see half the MPs being reelected. Now, the House of Lords aren't elected. But I see a groundswell of freedom and liberty-loving Brits that maybe will be calling for a written constitution, maybe calling for a Bill of Rights that protects the freedom of speech and press and stuff like that. And this is terrible. I mean, what's happening? This one judge being able to gag the whole press is ridiculous. And it would not be stood for here in the United States at all. There's an organization now. I'm going to go through a couple article headlines real quicker. PEGIDA. 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 In my how to pronounce it, it's pronounced Pegida. But it's a German movement. Now, the lamestream media calls it a far-right movement. I call it a freedom movement. I call it a liberty movement myself. Like I said, I'm getting away from the left-right paradigm. Basically, what they want to do is stop the Islamization of Germany. Now, as far as I could find out, almost every country over in the EU now, including Britain, the Nordic nations and stuff, have a chapter of Pegida. Canada has it. The United States has Facebook presence, and they're starting to gear up here in the United States about the stopping the Islamization of the United States and Canada. Because they see the handwriting on the wall. You don't have to be a rocket science to understand what's going to happen if you allow Islam to go unchecked. If you allow radical, political, theocratical Islam to come to your country, especially the United States, not adhere to the Constitution, and want to supplant the Constitution with Sharia law, which is, again, Sharia law is totally anti-freedom, anti-liberty. And so there's the Guardian calls them a far-right movement. Now, the Guardian's sort of like the New York Times and the Washington Post, very liberal. LA Times, very liberal. The Gatestonian Institute talks about them, the New German Revolution. It has an article in there from back in January 15, 2015. And this is a grassroots movement, folks, where you got citizens of the country that are banding together and want to stop Islam in their country and want to reverse the trends. They just want to do that. And I can't help but agree with them. It would be one thing. We have Buddhists in America. We have Japanese in America that believe their system of belief with the ancestors and stuff like that. We have Chinese in America that believe the way they believe. We have Mormons in this country that they're not militant about their beliefs as far as forcing them on people. Although they do control Utah and the levers of power out in Utah, which is bad enough. But they're not like Islam where they're going to go out and kill you if you don't convert to Mormonism. And there's other religions. The Sikhs bring in the Hindus. We had an Indian doctor for my daughter one time. And he wanted to move from here and go out to Chicago so he could, I can't remember what they called it, sort of like their church for, I can't even remember the name of the religion he's part of. But it's whatever the folks from India, what they practice. And we didn't have what he was looking for here, so he moved to Chicago. But they're not militant about it. The only religion I see in the world that's militant about their beliefs that will kill you if you don't convert is Islam. Not everybody that's in Islam wants to kill you if you don't convert. But there are enough of them that should give people a pause. Matter of fact, should scare some people half to death if they're ever allowed to have their head and have their way about the whole thing. And again, it is, to me, it's ridiculous what's going on and what's being allowed to go on. And we should look to Britain, we should look to the EU and say, we don't want this. We don't want this for America. And if we have people here like social democrats, like progressive humanists, that don't see anything wrong with Islam coming over here because it's a means to an end for them, then they need to be deposed at the ballot box too. They need to be defeated. Their ideologies need to be defeated because they don't protect Western culture. They don't protect the freedom and liberties that are enshrined in the Western culture. And if you're not with us, you're against us. If you're not for us, you're against us. And that's the way I see it. And I know there's going to be a lot of people disagree with me on that, but folks, the handwriting's on the wall. If you can't see it happening in Europe, if you can't see what's happening to these beautiful countries over in Europe being overrun by Islam, then you're blind and you need a wake-up call. And I'm afraid it's going to be too late by the time you do wake up. Because if we allow the Islamitization of America to happen, we're going to lose our constitution. We're going to lose our laws. We're going to lose our way of life. And for the most part, for Christians, like I'm going to be a Christian till the day I die. I'm not going to renounce it. We'll be in fear of our lives all the time if Islam takes a hold here. Because look what happens to Christians over in other Islamic nations. They're not well treated. And once that happens, once they get down to that point to where people are going to be worshiping in secret to protect them and theirs, we've lost Western society. We've lost the Western culture. And there's only one thing to do after that happens. And not that I'm calling for it, but the only way you're going to get out from underneath that was through force of arms. It's that simple. It really is, folks. Well, like I said, I didn't get to everything today. I truly wanted to, but again, I had so much. I mean, I could probably do 3 or 4 hours on all the stuff I got and I found and I researched on about the rape grooming gangs and Tommy Robinson and everything. But hopefully you get a flavor of what's going on over in Britain. You understand a little bit more about what's happening with Tommy Robinson and what's happening with the press and everything over in Britain. So again, if you want to get a hold of me, go to danclemensshow.com and click on the contact page, and you can email me through that. This has been the Dan Clemens Show. I'm your host, Dan Clemens, your constitutional warrior, fighting for your right just to be an American. And remember, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. Please, if you're new to the show, subscribe and hit the notification bell when I put out new videos. Give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. Leave comments on the video. I love comments, and I do react to them. Share the video with folks. Word of mouth is the best form of advertising. And if you can, please support the show. I have a Patreon page. I have a PayPal. The link is in the notes below the video. Go to that link and you can support this show. Have a great rest of the day and God bless. And we'll see you on the next video.